The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church, located at 111 North 2nd Street, Clearfield, PA. To hear the complete message, additional messages, or to follow us on Facebook, please go to www.fbcclearfield.com. That is www.fbcclearfield.com. We invite you to worship the Lord with us each Sunday at 10:45.
Amen. You can turn your Bibles to James chapter 3 this morning. James chapter 3, as we'll be in verses 1 through 12. I hope everyone had a great Christmas with friends and family. We're just getting ready for a baby, so anytime now. So James chapter 3 will be in verses 1 through 12. Let me read that this morning. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. So how many of you have ever heard the statement, I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap? Maybe you're the one who said it, or maybe the one that heard it. And usually it's your mother or father saying it, and it's because of your words, because of your wrong words. Now, I'm not going to ask, you know, who actually did it or who had it done to them, but it shows us words are important. And just like our mother wanted to clean our mouths out with soap, so in today's passage, we find that God wants our mouths to be cleaned as well. You know, words can be very damaging, but they can also be uplifting. And it's amazing what difference one word can make. So think about the phrase, do not steal, and do steal. One word, and that's a world of a difference. Words are important. We have freedom of speech here in our country, and we desire to keep that. But it shows how important words are to us. Words are not merely spoken, but they can be written. By words, we get laws, we get regulations. By words, we get best-selling books. When people are running to be president, every little word is watched. You could have said something 20 years ago, and it's held against you. Words are important. By words, we get the word of God. Words are central to God. He takes his word seriously. We are to take his word seriously. It's the power of the word of God to change hearts and lives. Words can be distorted. Words can be taken wrong. Churches can split over words. Families are broken up because of hurtful words. Friends are no longer friends because of words. So it's important for us as believers in Jesus Christ to watch what we say. We need to realize that our words can either build people up or tear them down. And James goes after this very important topic as he deals with fellow believers. And in the book of James, James is talking to Jewish Christians who were dispersed outside of Palestine at that time. And his purpose is really to expose hypocritical practices among Christians. So a major point we need to remember is that this is written to believers who have the Holy Spirit. And it's in his book that he confronts hypocrisy in the Christian's daily walk. He wants to make sure our actions back up what we say. Our actions should back up what our words are. And his aim is to show that true faith is displayed by a changed life. True faith is displayed by a changed life. So James talks about how faith without works is dead. That is, if we have faith, the natural outworking of that is works. And he moves on to show us how our words should fit with being a Christian. You see, for James, he understands when it comes to the tongue, living faith reveals itself in the control of your tongue. I think about how in a couple days we'll soon enter the new year. And the year may be new, but the tongue is the same. Each year changes, but the tongue stays the same. It's dangerous. So let's look at this morning three dangerous aspects of the tongue. We first see that the little tongue can be controlling. The little tongue can be controlling. We see that starting in verse 2 and going on. But the tongue is able to control our lives. So James starts out his chapter by talking about teachers' speech. And teachers obviously use their words often, so they're more susceptible to the wrong use of words. And he warns believers that they check their speech before they decide to become teachers in the church. For teachers in the church, we're going to have greater judgment with God because they not only use their words more often, but also because they're handling God's word. His point is that it's a big responsibility to talk about God's word. And if you can't control your tongue, then you better be very cautious before jumping into the teaching ministry. And this verse is crucial for anyone who teaches God's word to others. Think about how great damage a bad preacher can cause. Someone who portrays God in a false way. These men will have strict judgment because of the way they handled God's word. So James says, don't be quick to just jump in to teaching ministry. Obviously, in that day, there were people who were just trying to become teachers in the church without even reflecting upon their lives. Without reflecting upon the way they handle their tongue. And really, he wants them to see the weightiness of teaching God's word. So even if you teach a Sunday school class, even if you teach your kids at home God's word, you need to remember it's a big responsibility. You are handling God's word, maybe in a more informal way, but still something to remember. So James moves on from that and he says, "Yes, we all stumble in many ways." Isn't that true? We all stumble in many ways. In many ways, at many times, we all stumble. We're imperfect people. We struggle still with sin. Even though we're saved, we still struggle with sin. Especially our words. But James shows us that the tongue is a revealer of the heart. Think about doctors. They find out a lot about you from your tongue. They say, you know, open up your mouth and stick your tongue out. You know, and they find out a lot about you, about your mouth. So also, when you think of the tongue, it's one of the main ways to show our total depravity, right? Think about Romans 3:13. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. We see in Genesis 3, Satan uses his words to tempt Eve. And then after they sin, God shows up to Adam and Eve, and what do? They blame others. They use their words and blame others. So we see, even from the very beginning, words are used wrongly. When you think about God showing his glory to Isaiah, what does Isaiah say? I'm a man of unclean lips. Because he was in the presence and glory of God, he was made aware how sinful he was, how sinful his lips were. What else can someone say about their words in light of God's amazingness and perfection and glory? If you think about the many, many sins in the world, you often find it's caused by words. It's caused by our tongues. And James says, the one who controls his words is perfect. Really, the word is complete or mature. This is someone who can control his whole body. And the point is this, if you can control your tongue, you can control your body. Why? Because the tongue is so hard to control. So then someone who cannot control his or her tongue is really not seen as a spiritually mature person. Now James later does say, no one can completely tame his tongue. It's a constant battle that we all face, that we do throughout our whole lives. But the mature Christian can have a good handle on his tongue, his or her tongue. You see, the mature Christian knows when to speak up, when to be silent. If there's someone grieving, you know what to say. You know what not to say. We need to control our tongue with wisdom in every single situation that you find yourself in. We need to realize that the tongue can be a weapon, so easily accessible. Nothing holds back the tongue. It's just so easy to sin with. Just think of this. It's said that we spend one-fifth of our life talking. We also, in a day, could make up a 66-page paper. I don't know how they measured all this, but somehow they came up with these numbers. But either way, that's a lot of talking. That's a lot of words. Now, some talk more than others, right? But with the amount of words we use, no wonder it's so easy to sin with. But James tells us that we need to control our tongue to control our body. Then he talks about these two examples. He first talks about a bit in a horse's mouth can control where they go. Anybody here ever ridden a horse? I know that probably all the Cathamans, right? All right, so a couple. I have not, but I am astonished at how people can control a horse with something so small. I'm from Lancaster County, and if you know anything about Lancaster, there's a lot of Amish. And they can control their horses. There are times where I saw 13-year-old boys driving these buggies, and they had control of that horse with something so small. It's amazing. Something so small can control something so big. He also talks about a small rudder controlling a big ship. Been up to Canada, and we take canoe trips up there, and in the back of the canoe is a person who steers the canoe. So they kind of use their paddle to steer the canoe. And there's one time where there are these crazy winds and waves. I mean, the waves were big and the wind was just blowing strong. But yet, even though there's crazy winds and waves, I can control where we were going. I could determine and where we need to go. It's important to face a certain way when you hit the waves so you don't flip over. But yet something so small as that paddle could control the canoe. You think about those big cruise ships. It's like a small city on those cruises, right? They have everything on them. Yet a small rudder can control those big cruise ships. So it is with our tongue. So small. Yet it can control so much in our lives. It's small but powerful. Our tongue can influence our lives. Just think about this. If you're always bringing people down, people aren't going to want to be around you because of your words. And so really, our tongues can set the direction of our life. They can set our reputation. Your words can make you lose friends, make you lose jobs, make you lose opportunities, and that's going to change your life. Our tongue can boast of great things. I think about the Titanic, and it said that one man said, not even God could sink the ship. And we all know the sad reality of what happened. I also think of the boxer, Muhammad Ali, who would always say, I am the greatest. He would trash talk so much, and by the end of his life, he couldn't speak. The tongue can boast of great things. You can usually tell what someone's like by their words, or even how they say things. The tongue is controlling, small but powerful. But don't let its smallness deceive you. You know, you look at your tongue and you think, it's so small, you know, what can it do? But it has amazing amount of control and power in people's lives. Either you control it and you gain control of your body, or it controls you. So do you have control of your tongue? Or does it have control of you? So the little tongue can be controlling, but also it can be very destructive. We see that starting in 5b through 8, the tongue can be destructive. So James builds off of this smallness theme about the tongue, and he gives another illustration of the tongue of a small fire makes a forest on fire. So in Chicago, Illinois, the date was October 8th, 1871. A small spark in a barn caused 17,500 buildings to be burnt down, 300 people killed, 125,000 people out of their homes, and $400 million worth of damage. A small spark in a barn. Just a small fire can cause so much damage. Likewise, the small tongue can cause widespread damage. Think of a small rumor. Just a small rumor can ruin someone's reputation, ruin their life. People can say anything. Think about some words. They cut so deeply that it reaches to your soul. Some words are spoken by those who are close to us that cause deep wounds. Some people hold grudges for years upon years because of words spoken. I'm sure there's been times in your life that you've been hurt by words. But have there been times where you've hurt someone by your words? Even amongst Christians, this is prevalent. Even amongst pastors, this can happen. You know, we get together and we start talking about someone in a bad light. And James says, this ought not to be so. This shouldn't be happening. Verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue wants to do damage. It wants to stain everything it touches. Even Jesus says in Mark 7:20, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. A filthy tongue makes a filthy person. The tongue not only stains your body, but it affects those around you. It affects your life. Think about just a small stain on a piece of clothing. It can render that particle of clothing unwearable. So also, a couple words can ruin a friendship. The tongue can destroy a community, can destroy a church, can destroy a friendship, a family. People's lives have been ruined because of false accusations. People have lost their jobs. Think about Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. The tongue is like that small fire that can cause so much damage. James then talks about verse 7. Every beast can be tamed by man, but man cannot tame the tongue. It's a restless evil. So think about how we can tame wild animals. You know, you see those lion tamers? I've seen on TV, there's people who, you know, roll around with bears, and you're thinking, guy's crazy. You people with all these snakes all over them. Remember, Kate's cousin one time had a snake, and went into the couch, and it's like, this is crazy. I would never want to have a snake around me. But we can tame those wild animals. But James says, we can tame those wild animals, but we can't even tame the tongue. It's a deadly poison, he says. It's lethal. Think about the tongue. It's just so tiny compared to the rest of our body. But it's destructive beyond compare. It can topple nations. It can ruin lives. It can cause damage upon damage, hurt upon hurt. So don't let the little tongue deceive you. It's one of the most destructive forces in the universe. Meditate upon it in your own life. Do you let your tongue cause damage and hurt? Or do you use it for building up and healing in your life? So it can be controlling, it can be destructive, but thirdly, it can be inconsistent. That little tongue can be inconsistent. James says, with our tongue we bless God, yet we curse man. We come to church, we hear a sermon, we say all the right things, and then we walk out that door and we tear people down with our words. We spread gossip and hurt people. James says, this ought not to be so. It's time to repent of your wrong use of words. He says, the same mouth shoots forth blessing and cursing. The tongue can produce the best of things, but it can also produce the worst of things. And he just says, it doesn't make sense. And he compares it to physical things we see in the world. A tree can't produce two kinds of fruits. A spring can't have fresh and salt water. It's like he's saying, it doesn't make sense that we can do this. But yet we do. An illustration that I thought of is sometimes you think of some people who are being mean and nasty with their words. And then what happens when the phone rings? They pick up and they're the nicest person in the world. Hello, how are you? Right? And it's just a perfect example of what we do throughout our lives. How can we talk to God so nicely, yet go out and damage and hurt those who were created by God in the image of God? We are not to treat people in such hurtful and damaging ways, for they are made in the image of God. So we're not supposed to have evil and good speech, but only good speech. Our tongue can really be inconsistent, but if you think about it, it's a sign of sin. It's a sign of sin in our lives. But as Christians, our words should show that we're being Christ-like. Even James, in a couple chapters earlier, chapter 1, verse 26, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. A true, mature believer is known by a tongue that is under control. The tongue is damaging, it's untamable, it's controlling, destructive, inconsistent. When we think about this sermon, it kind of sounds like a moralistic sermon, like, just be better, guys. Which, to a point, James is calling us to live out our faith. But I believe there's more. So you may be wondering, okay, the tongue is very dangerous, and it's bad, can be bad, but how do I battle this? Where's the hope in this? Well, there's no coincidence that right after this passage is one about wisdom. Right after this passage, James talks about how we need to live by wisdom. Earthly and heavenly wisdom are contrasted. So really, it's only by God's wisdom that we can live lives that are fitting to being a Christian. He talks about how wisdom produces good deeds, produces and motivates mercy and love for others and peace. So what we need is God's wisdom to battle our tongue's sinful tendencies. And so what we see is that we are to harness the power of the tongue through the wisdom from above. We must pray to God for wisdom needed. James talks about that. Ask of God for wisdom. Ask of Him for the grace and the strength that you need. And receiving God's wisdom and grace is going to affect your speech. And where was the wisdom of God beautifully and in perfection displayed? Jesus Christ, who was the quintessential picture and ultimate personification of wisdom. It was in His life that we see someone who completely controlled His tongue. Think about 1 Peter 2:22. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. 1 Corinthians 1:30 and 31, and because of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. So in light of these, the sinful realities of the tongue, this chapter, this sermon, kind of brings us to our knees and realize how sinful we really are. In verse 2, we all stumble in many ways. This should really bring us to our knees and say, God, I am sinful. I have used my words in wrong ways. We should be like Isaiah. I am a man. I am a woman of unclean lips. We're sinful people who need a gracious God. Therefore, the only cure for the sin-filled tongue is a Christ-filled life. The only cure for a sin-filled tongue is a Christ-filled life. Essentially, what that means is that there only hope that we have in life of controlling our speech in any way is the wisdom from God through Jesus Christ. If you haven't already, go to Christ, find the forgiveness and the new life that's found in Him. And if you have, then continue going to Him for the daily resources we need to fight sin, to fight temptation. You see, Christ not only gives eternal life and salvation to those who come to Him, but He also gives the daily grace that we need, the daily wisdom that we need. And it's through Christ's sacrifice on the cross that we who trust in Him have become new creatures. And as we go through our Christian lives, God makes us more and more into the likeness of His Son. And this is something that we work at, but also God works at in us. And so when you think about your growth in Christ, the tongue is a major factor of your sanctification, of your growth in Christ, of your holiness. But only through a heart change will your tongue change. So dive into God's Word, because the more you let the Word of God change you, the more your words will change. So as we come upon a new year, with all its new adventures and newness, let's remember that we have the same tongue. It can be controlling. It can be destructive. It can be inconsistent. But it doesn't have to control you. It doesn't have to destroy and hurt. It doesn't have to be inconsistent. Instead, it can build up. It can encourage. It can bless with consistency. But we must rely upon God and His power and grace that gives us, that He gives us to harness His power in the new year. You see, if you rely on your own strength to battle your words, you're not going to be able to do it. It might bring some temporary success, but it's not going to bring lasting success. Think about what James said. No human being can tame the tongue. And that sounds like bad news. But it's actually great news, because what does it imply? Only God can. Only God can. So as you enter the new year in a few days, how will your speech be characterized in 2019? Will your tongue be under control through the help of God's wisdom, or will it be controlling you? Is your tongue going to bring a world of encouragement or a world of unrighteousness? Is it going to be full of deadly poison or full of grace? So may we harness the power of the tongue through the wisdom from above. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are sinful people. We felt the weight of that today through a lesson on our tongue, on our words. We can't get around the fact that we have said some hurtful things in the past. People have said some hurtful things to us at some point in our lives. We can't get away from that fact. We are sinners. But the great thing is that you save us and you can help us battle that tongue. Help us not to have a sin-filled tongue, but a Christ-filled life as we go on into the new year. May this new year just be characterized as this one that is just very wise with our words, discerning in situations. May we be characterized as people who build up but not tear down, who heal and not destroy, who encourage and not discourage, but who just show love to each other as we go on through our lives. Lord, help us. We need your help. In Jesus' name, amen.